Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our epistle lesson, Ephesians 5, 8-14, which we will reread. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is our text. This is the word of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Increase our faith through them, we pray. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, there are some things that are definitely then and now, on and off, light and dark, before and after. We sometimes call them watersheds. On this side, everything goes that way. On that side, everything goes the other way. So Paul uses this imagery of light and dark to great effect to talk about us and to draw a huge distinction between what we were and what we are now, which is also the difference between those who are cut off utterly from God and those who live in the light of faith. Now, the world doesn't like black and white. The world likes shades of gray. But spiritual life is black and white, light and dark, damnation and salvation, eternal death and eternal life. And Paul hammers home this reality that you have come from darkness into light. Now, it's important to stress this in our age because in our age it's so easy, as I said, to go gray, to forget where we came from. It's easy to forget that we, every last one here, we have all been born in darkness, having no hope in the world and without God in the world, as he says in chapter 2. We were all born on a trajectory from darkness into darkness. And it's so easy to forget that. Even if we were brought up in the Christian faith, it's easy to neglect God's word. It's easy to become mired in the worries, riches, and pleasures of this life so that we forsake a daily life of repentance and reflection on the gospel. It's easy to forget, as Peter says, "For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." That kind of echoes the warnings that Jesus gave us about blindness at the end of our gospel lesson, doesn't it? Because the darkness in this world is spiritual darkness, not physical darkness. It's easy to forget sometimes that people we know are living in darkness. Now, Paul described the darkness of the Ephesians, where they had come from, and the darkness in which so many of the Ephesians still live. And he was urging the Ephesians to recognize See all those people? See where they are? That's where you were. Don't live like that anymore. Don't live like you're so blind. Don't put on a blindfold and go charging off into the world as though you could see. For you will stumble and fall. He said of those people, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And in the modern world, same. These are the people who are indifferent to the Bible. They get their theology from spiritual movies like The Shack, or from spiritual teachers like Joel Osteen or Pope Francis. And they care nothing for the lives of the unborn. They see the world through an evolutionary lens in terms of Darwinism, in terms of the survival of the fittest, in terms of no real value to humanity. They live the casual immorality of the sitcom. And now that you are in the light, you should be able to see that as darkness. You should be able to see that as death. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Anybody here glow? Or do you take a flashlight with you when it's dark? We take a flashlight with us, or we turn on the lights. Unless you've started to glow, you realize that when you're in the light, it's because of the light that shines on you, isn't it? It's not the light that shines out of you. As Paul says, probably he's quoting a baptismal hymn here. There are a couple other alternatives, but probably a baptismal hymn from the time, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." You know, here we are dead or asleep, and we're given the resurrection in our baptism, and thus we now stand in the light. So you aren't in the light because you've decided to walk in the light, but because you've been given the light. We open our eyes, and in faith we understand that it's because of the light that is on us that we are in the light. We live in the light, as he says, the light of Christ, the light of the Lord. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Now this is more countercultural than you might realize. As Christians, you've walked in the light for so long. You know where your hope lies. You can, in a sense, see the path that leads to eternal life. You can recognize the deeds of darkness. You know, even if we fall into sin, we say, "Ah, God be merciful to me. That is wrong. That partakes of the deeds of darkness." And we struggle to find our way out of it. We struggle to live according to the light that has been given to us. And so we think, it's easy to think, that the whole world is like that. Why would anyone walk around as though the world is dark when in fact the light is shining in it? Why would people walk around in the world ignorant of Christ, even though Christ shines forth through his glorious word day after day? When you tell people to stand, to walk in the light, or to stand up in their, for the faith, they usually think that you're saying, "What I want you to do is to do right when other people do wrong." Okay? It's about morality. Light comes into this world through you deciding that you are going to be righteous. You deciding that you are going to do the right thing. And as we saw from our example earlier, that's impossible. Now, there's nothing wrong with morality, obviously. Every civilization depends upon, you know, some level of morality among the populace, or it descends into anarchy, chaos, and death. But standing up for morality isn't the light that is in this world. That isn't the light that Jesus brought into this world. For the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Okay? Not just moral, but good and right and true. And that's why Christian civilizations, in our case, Western Christian civilization, is so under attack. Because it's an embodiment, it's a living out in life of the gospel. When we talk about our life as Christians, it goes far beyond morality. It goes on to an everlasting hope. What's good and right and true certainly includes morality, virtues of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, honesty, sobriety, self-discipline, modesty, humility, courage, and so on. They're all good and right and true insofar as they go. Lots of atheists hope to live that way. Lots of good pagans. I think particularly of the Greek pagan philosophers extol these virtues. But to walk as a child of the light is to live this way because of Christ. Out of love for Christ. Out of obedience to Christ. In gratitude to Christ because of the righteousness that he's given us. Because of the light he himself has shown us. The Christian life doesn't consist in a bunch of rules that we keep track of. Let's see, 3 checks, I'm good. You only got 2 checks. That makes me better. But in trying to discern what's pleasing to the Lord, because it's the Lord who has saved us. So living in the light then means living in the hope of the gospel, living as people to whom faith, forgiveness, life, and salvation have been given and are important. And it's for this reason that we live in the light. And the fruit of light is found in all that's good and right and true. And what is that more than mere morality? Well, it's a family where forgiveness and grace predominate. Yeah, sure, we try to raise our kids to do the right thing. That's almost goes without saying, but that's for sure included. But it's where there's such a thing as forgiveness. It's where there's such a thing as grace and respect and honor for parents. It's a marriage in which there's love in the good times as well as in the really rotten times. It's in a life lived even with an appreciation of beauty and truth, in a disciplined mind, discerning truth from lies, and yes, discerning light from darkness. All the things that are good and right and true include also a theology of the cross, in which we understand this is a broken world, in which Christ shares our sufferings in order to defeat death, in order to destroy death, and to deliver us into eternal life. We look at this world and we realize this is what Christ came to save us from. Our hope isn't that somehow humanity will just get it right and we'll live in a perfect world. We know that we have to be saved from this. We know it's a world that doesn't pit one group against another, as though one group of people is good and another group of people is oppressive. So we've got men versus women and rich versus poor and white versus black, native versus immigrant. But we understand that in all people, faith, vice, virtue, these all pertain to the individual, because every individual is accountable to God. Where things are good and right and true, it's a worldview in which God, not chance, is glorified for what's good and beautiful and mysterious and grand and majestic. It's a world in which an immortal soul is understood categorically different from an animal. So to live in the light is to understand all these things. To live in the light is also to have a light for all seasons. What do I mean by that? To live in the light means that when things go well, when we're in the spring of our lives, and we're growing in strength and confidence and ability and knowledge and all of these things that that are on the upswing, it's the gospel that we live in such a life as that. And it's the same gospel that we live in the light of the summer of our lives, when hopes mature and are fulfilled. To live in the light is to live in the light in the fall of life, when most of our days are behind us, when we've come to realize that some of our dreams clearly will not be fulfilled, and we grow weary. To live in this light is to live in the light of Christ even in the winter of our lives, when death is but a step away, and we have no sense of another day or what might be in store for us, much less expect to live a long life yet. So what is the hope? What light is there that can be for all seasons? Is it the hope of your living a perfectly righteous life, finally getting it right? Is your hope in having just the right politics installed in this world? Is your hope in winning the lottery? Is your hope in wealth? All of these things are darkness. So what hope can be for all seasons but the hope of Christ's righteousness and everlasting life? That's the light that has been given you. Live in that light. Let those truths, those verities, govern what's important to you today and tomorrow and every day. To live in the light of all seasons is to have what's good in all times of life, what's right in all times of life, what's true in all times of life. And so that's faith, first of all, and therefore the righteousness of Christ. It's hope in God's grace and daily life, that if you're a young person, the age of Clint or Nicole who are up here, and you trust God to hear your prayers just as much as an old person on his or her deathbed trusts God to hear their prayers. The light for all seasons is the gospel, the good news that Christ entered into this world from heaven, that here he died to kill death and he's risen from the dead to give light to every day, again to every season of life. To live in the light is also to avoid what hides in the darkness. Paul says, as one side of this, Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. So think of a lighthouse. So the light shines from the lighthouse. You can see that light, and we live in that light. But that light also shows us where the shoals are. It shows us where the rocks are. It shows us where the danger is and what is to be avoided. So the light reveals the false prophets, the false theologies, the false religions that dominate education, that dominate media, popular culture, and that give birth to the works of darkness. In this dark world, what's heralded as modern, free, unfettered, bold, daring, human, a right, is revealed by this light as old and discredited lies, as licentious and corrupt, as without restraint, as tyrannical, reckless, demonic, as a usurpation of power, eternally condemned. What in darkness is heralded as human success, human freedom, human independence from God, is in this light revealed as death. And what's the danger from getting mixed up in these works of darkness? Well, if you remember the Ash Wednesday sermon particularly, the danger of sin isn't just that we might sin one day. But the danger of sin, the danger of these works of darkness, is that we're led into the darkness, led into impenitence and unbelief. And since we can see that as Christians, that's what we avoid. Who here doesn't want to live in the light? Of course we do. We want to diligently pay attention to Christ, who is the light of the world and who wants to give us the light through his word. So his word's going to be important to us. We want to live in the light that shines on us with his righteousness and shows us the bright and, yes, lonely way to heaven, as well as revealing the dark shoals of impenitence and unbelief. Paul tells you, reminds you, you know, once you were darkness, but no more. Once we had only death before us. You have known people that lived like that? You know, I remember Jane Fonda, and she was interviewed once, and she says, "The only thing I can hope for is that tomorrow I just won't be as afraid of dying as I am today." I guess that's living in darkness. Once we had only death before us, but now we have an eternal life that has no end. Once we stumbled around unable to please God because we didn't know him, and now we know there is no condemnation upon us because we are in Christ Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. All that we do out of love for him, he cherishes. When you walk in the light, that's an answer to prayer. Did you know that you pray probably every day for this? When you pray, "Hallowed be thy name," what do we mean by that? Well, God's name is hallowed. And how is that? As you remember the catechism, it's when we teach and we live in such a way that Christ is honored, that God is, his name is hallowed. Well, that's what it means also to walk in the light. By our life and teaching, Christ is known. So when you walk in the light, you're an honor to him, and you're his blessing then also to other people. When you walk in the light, as Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, you live the life of the blessed. You live a life with blessing and happiness that has no end. Because the light in which we live lasts forever. That's what we need to think about if we're going to walk in the light. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Well, how can we but walk in it? Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.